Are you all having fun worshiping together this morning? I love that we all get to worship together as one big family this morning, and that's what this is all about. All of us, from babies all the way on up, are one big church family, and that's why we get to worship together today. But right now, I want to tell you a story, and this is a true story from the Bible. But first, I need to know, raise your hand if you have ever been to the zoo. Raise your hand if you've ever been to the zoo. Okay. I want you to think of one animal that you've seen at the zoo. Okay, think of it in your head, and on the count of three, I want you to shout it out as loud as you can, okay? Everyone, that means adults too, kids, everyone, okay, ready? One, two, three. Oh my goodness, I heard lots of animals. I heard zebras and tigers and giraffes, but did anyone say lion? Anyone say lion? How many of you have seen a lion before? Raise your hand. You've seen a lion? Okay, those of you that have seen a lion, were you allowed to go into the cage and pet the lion? No? Well, why wouldn't you be able to pet a lion? It would eat you? I don't know. It would probably hurt you because, listen, lions are really powerful animals, right? I'm going to put a picture of a lion up there. Maybe. There we go. There's a lion. Lions are really powerful animals. And I want to tell you a few facts about lions, okay? Lions are often known as the king of the jungle. A male lion can stretch up to 10 feet long and weigh 400 to 500 pounds. That's about as much as 8 or 9 little kids. That's huge. And lions, they can run up to 50 miles an hour. Kids, that's faster than you go on most of your roller coasters. That's really fast. And lions, they can open their jaw almost as wide as 1 foot. That's like huge. That's how big their mouth can open. And here's something really interesting. A lion's roar is the loudest of any big cat and can be heard up to 5 miles away. Now, that's a pretty powerful animal, right? Yeah? Well, today we're going to hear a true story from the Bible about a man who had to spend an entire night in a den or a cave with lions. But when I tell this story, I'm going to need a little bit of help. So whenever you hear me say the word lion, I need everyone in the room to give me their biggest lion roar. Can we try that together? Okay, ready? Lion! Perfect, perfect. Okay, there's a couple more important characters in our story that we need to have some motions for. The man in our story, his name was Daniel. And Daniel was very faithful to the Lord, and he prayed because he knew how powerful God is. So, when I say Daniel, I want you to put your hands like you're praying. Can everyone try that? Daniel liked to pray. Okay, and Daniel prayed to the most powerful God in the world. And that's the God that we're worshiping today. So whenever you hear me say the word God, I want you to put your arms up like this for power. Can I see your muscles? Power. Okay, you think we got it? Are you ready to hear this story? Okay, this is a true story from the Bible. Here we go. You got to be listening up so that you can follow along and do those motions. All right, so there once was a king named Darius. King Darius had placed 3 rulers in charge of his kingdom. One of them was Daniel. Daniel was doing such a good job that King Darius put him in charge of everything and kicked the other 2 guys out. Of course, that made the other guys, well, we'll call them bad guys, they got pretty angry and jealous. They decided to watch Daniel to see if he did something wrong so that they could get him in trouble. They were trying to get him fired, but Daniel loved and obeyed God, so they couldn't find anything wrong. Finally, these men said to each other, "We can't find any reason for the king to fire Daniel. The only way we could get him to disobey the king is if we made a law against his God." So they went to King Darius and said, "Oh, great king, you should make a rule that says people here can pray to no one but you for the next 30 days. And if they don't obey the law, they should be thrown in the lion's den." Okay, let's pause for a second. Does that even make sense? Can a king, like a human king, hear you when you're in your room and praying? No. Can he help your heart feel better when you're sad or scared?
No.
No, only God can do that. Okay, let's go back to the story. So even though that rule doesn't really make much sense to us, the king said, that sounds like a great idea. So the bad guys were pretty delighted. They went right over to Daniel's house. Now, when Daniel heard about that law, he did what he always did. He kept praying to the one true God who has all the power and who can hear his prayers. And when the bad guys got there and they saw him praying, they headed right back to King Darius to tell on him. When the king heard about Daniel, he was so upset. The Bible says that he was greatly distressed. Daniel was his best helper. Daniel was his friend. He didn't want Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. That's some pretty scary lion roars right there. He didn't want him thrown into the lion's den, but... scared me again. But the law was the law. It couldn't be changed. And so Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, I hope your God, who you serve and pray, will rescue you. So he was thrown into the lion's den, and a large heavy stone was rolled in front of the den, and the king went back to his palace with tears in his eyes. That night, King Darius couldn't eat or sleep because he was so worried for Daniel. Now, the next day, as soon as the sun came up, the king got up and ran to the lion's den. As he got closer, he shouted, Daniel, has your God, who you serve and pray to rescue you from the lions? Did he save you? Can you imagine? That seems like a pretty hopeless situation. One man and a den full of lions. But we know God can do all things. God is all powerful. God is even more powerful than those lions. So then all of a sudden, Daniel, he shouted, O king, live forever. My God sent an angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I have done nothing wrong. The king jumped with joy and immediately ordered that Daniel be removed from the den. And when he was lifted from the den, there wasn't even a scratch on him because he trusted God. God was with Daniel. And God was so powerful, he was able to shut those big mouths of the lions and protect Daniel. So after that, the king made a new law, and he said, Daniel's God is great, and I order that everyone in my kingdom must respect the Lord God, who rescued Daniel from the hungry lions. He is the living God. He will live forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His rule will never end. He sets his people free and saves them. Now, this story, it reminds us how powerful God is. And it also reminds us that God is with us everywhere we go. So what I want to do now is I want everyone to stand, and we are going to sing another song about God's power, how he had the power to defeat death and save us, and how that was such a happy day. So let's sing together.
Thank you. the Lord, everybody. You can have a seat.
Good morning again. This little gathering is the beginning of an emphasis that we have this fall called community. Community is us. Literally means people who are in common with one another. We have something in common. And in order to emphasize that, one of the things that we want to do is talk about the person that we have in common, because there is a person who is the basis of our community. Now, next week, we're going to begin to look at some other things. We're going to talk about, for example, love, which is the thing that that person told us has to characterize us in our community. But today, we need to focus a little bit on him. We're not going to go real deep. We're just going to hit the big points. And in order to do that, I need some help. And so, I need people. Let's see. One of you started... Okay. Come on up. He's like... Okay. Now, in order to help me out here, we're going to talk about God. You're going to be right there. And you need to understand that you're going to have the one card that says the most about God. All right? So you got to make sure they never can't see that. All right? Okay. Can you do that? Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Omni-Guard God. Can you put that up higher? There you go. See? Now, the Omni-God is the God who is all. That's what it means. Omni means all. And God is all, but he's all specific things. There's some things that we need to understand he is. So I need another volunteer. Come on up, Karis. Now, Karis... I want you to stand right here so the microphone doesn't get in your way. Hold it up good. See, God is omnipotent. But that sounds weird, so we say it fast. Omnipotent. Kids, I want you to all say that with me. Adults, if you can keep up with your kids, you say it too, okay? Omnipotent, okay? It means all powerful. That's who God is. He is all powerful. Powerful. There is a name, a phrase that we use. Callie even used this in her story. In Genesis 17:1, it refers to this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and he said to him, I am God Almighty. How many of you have heard that phrase? God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Almighty means omnipotent, omnipotent. God can do anything. Now, this bothers some people because we put ourselves as a judge before God, and we think that we should be able to tell God which things he should do. So sometimes we have a problem with that. But the reality is that we're not able to do that because, unlike God, we don't know everything. So I need another volunteer. Come on up. You see, if God is omnipotent, if he is omnipotent, now, I want you, Karis, to just back a little bit, but don't stop because he doesn't stop being omnipotent, right? If he's omnipotent, and yet we don't understand why he does things or doesn't do certain things, maybe the reason is we don't know as much as he does. Does that ever occur to you? Is there anybody here who knows everything? Boy, I was nervous for a minute there. But you see, God does. So, up high, there we go. Omni, all, scient. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Omni, scient. So we say that one, omniscient. Omniscient. That's a little hard. Say it to yourself just a minute. Omniscient. Omniscient. You got it? Omniscient. Okay, kids, say it out loud now. Omniscient. And that means all knowledge. God knows everything. So when we start deciding we know better than he does, we got a problem, because we don't know everything and he does. I'm going to read you a couple of passages in the scripture. So you guys are going to have to, you know, brace your arms. Keep them up there, all right? In Psalm 139, 1-7, it says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I get up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down." That means you look real close and you know everything in my path. "And you're intimately acquainted with everything I do, all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain. I can't understand it." That's the thing we need to understand about God. 1 John says this, "We will know by this that we are of the truth, and we will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things." That's omniscient. But there's another thing you need to understand about God. He's able to do everything. He has all power. He has all knowledge. But sometimes we feel like that's not good enough because, you know, here I am and God's not here. I'm looking for God. I'm wanting God to be here and it doesn't feel like he's here. And that's where this final one comes in. And I'm going to look at the one that I saw raise the hand first, and I'm sorry for the others. Declan, come on up here. You got to go those stairs. You see, when we start feeling like God isn't where we need to be, you need to be right in between the stands so everybody can see, all right? We need to remember that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time. He's big enough to be everywhere. Right now, there are people on the other side of this country who are going through a giant storm. God is there right now. See, we're trying to imagine it, but he's there with them. And it's hard for us to understand and to remember, but it's true, because God is omnipresent. Can everybody say that? Omnipresent. So that's the omni-God. He is omnipotent, omnipotent. Say thank you to Karis for being up here. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Thank you for being up here. And he's omnipresent. There's nowhere we can go that he's not there. And he's the one with the strong arms that's been holding all up this whole time. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's continue to praise him and worship him. Would you stand with us as we sing? Take my
what you've done for me. Who brings up chaos back into order? Who makes the open a sudden door? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shine like the sun in all his brilliance. The King of Glory, the King of all of kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a fitting love. Why you would take my place? How you would fill my heart? You laid out your life that I would be so free. Jesus, I sing for what you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a heavenly Lord. That you would take my place. That you would fill my heart. You laid out your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
If you've ever studied God at all, if you've ever studied what the Word says about God, then you know about the Omni-God that we were just talking about. But the Omni-God sounds kind of academic. I mean, let's be real. How many of you used the word omniscient last week in your day-to-day discussions, right? We don't talk like that. So today I want to talk to you for just a few minutes also about the God I know, the God who's close to me, the God I understand. And to do that, I want to first just raise this issue that you kids, you probably haven't heard this, but if you have, listen up and listen anyway so that if you ever hear this, you can stop it. How many of you have heard that the God of the Old Testament, there's the God of the Old Testament and there's the God of the New Testament? You heard that one? So let's talk for a minute about the old God and the new God, because people talk about this as though there's two. And they're different. But the reality is, the God I know is not the old God or the new God. The God I know is both of them, and he's only one, and he's always been the same. And I want to illustrate it this way. We talk about this because for many of us, we read the Old Testament, and we only read parts of it. We remember parts of it instead of reading all of it. And we get the idea that the old God, the God of the Old Testament, is a righteous judge. Now, righteous judge sounds good, right? There's only one problem with the righteous judge. When we look at the righteous judge, it's like watching a TV show about a courtroom. And we want the judge to be honest and to be fair, right? Okay. But what if you're the defendant and you're guilty. Do you want the judge to still be fair? Because you see, if you're guilty, fair is going to get you in trouble, right? So there's a little problem with that. We begin to see God as the judge who sees right through us, who understands the bad part about us, and who is going to do something about that. I'm going to read a passage from Hebrews. Now, remember, this isn't the Old Testament. Hebrews is in the New Testament. So those of you who think that's the Old Testament God and he's not real, he's not the one that we know, you need to hear this. If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, Hebrews 10:26, by the way, if we do that, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment? Punishment means payback, vengeance. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's the New Testament. That's not the Old Testament. This judge who is righteous is real. And we need to understand that. Because if we fall into his hands as the defendant, not as his children, then we have a reason to be scared. But there's another God that we see in Scripture. He's not different. He's the same one. And that is the Savior. The word Savior means the rescuer, the one who keeps us from having to be punished. And I want to read some passages to you about the Savior. But I want you to understand that every passage I'm reading to you is from the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Because the idea of God as Savior isn't new. That idea has been around all along. The Savior has compassion. 2 Kings 13:23. "The Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from his presence until now." This is God of the Old Testament saying, "No, I care about these people. Mercy." In Jeremiah 31:20, "Is Ephraim my dear child? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him." By the way, the answer to that was no. Ephraim was part of the nation of Israel, and it was in rebellion against God himself. "Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him, and therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord." Forgiveness? Forgiveness is when we don't have to pay for what we've done. And in the Old Testament, Daniel, the very book that Callie was talking about, Daniel 9:9 says, "To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness." And finally, love. Because God loves his people. Deuteronomy 7:13, "He will love you and bless you and multiply you," he said, "to his own people." But God loves those who were not part of Israel just as much. In Deuteronomy 10:18, "He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien." That means the stranger, the one that doesn't belong in Israel, by giving him food and clothing. You see, the God of the Old Testament was a God of love, compassion, and forgiveness. And when Jesus came to embody that, it wasn't new, but people had forgotten it. So we need to remember that the one who unites us, the one who is the basis of our community, is righteous, and he is the judge. But we don't need to fall into the hands of the judge. Because if we will simply allow him to be our Lord and Savior, then he is compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love. The kids sing about this when they're off in the children's program a lot. And so now I'm going to ask all of you who are children's leaders who know the song Dig Deep. Is that the... Okay, Dig and Deep are in the song name. If you know that, come on up here, because we want you to lead the rest of us.
Let's continue.
Good morning again. Bringing everybody together like this is actually the beginning of a little series that we're doing this fall. The series is called Community, and of course, this is the community. Community isn't just a certain age, it's all of us together. But there's a reason we're together. The foundation, the heart of our community, is God Himself. So who is this God? Well, we've learned a little bit about how He interacts with us from the story of Daniel. What, you did it for her? Come on. All right, forget it. You guys aren't helpful at all. No, I know. I see how it runs here. But we want to talk a little bit more about who God is. And this is going to be very important because we've got to remember, we're going to be going on as adults in a study on community. Next week, we're talking about love. But love is rooted in who God is. And if we don't remember that, we're not going to understand, we're not going to be able to love. So, first of all, let's talk about the things that traditionally we relate to God. It's what I call the omni-God. The omni-God is about the things that we call God. And in order to illustrate this, I need a volunteer who is fairly strong. Who's really strong? You're strong? All right, come on up. Come around here to the stairs. It's easier this side, I think. Okay, now you're gonna come all the way over here. Tell everybody your name. Say it real loud. Here.
Jamie.
Here's the microphone.
Jamie.
That's a little weird, I know. Her name is Jamie. Welcome, Jamie, up here. Now, Jamie is very strong because Jamie is going to be holding this up the whole time I'm up here. Okay? Can you do that? So here's the card. Now, hold it up high. Everybody can see it. Can everybody see it? That says Omni. Now, Omni means all. That's who God is. He's all. Of course, it helps if we say all what, right? So we need to understand that God isn't just all. He's all some specific stuff. So, for example, I need another volunteer. Come on up, Ezra. Okay, now, Ezra, you're going to stand right here, and you're going to hold this one up, but it's got to be high, man. It's got to be high. Okay, omnipotent. Now, that sounds a little weird, right? So we'll say it together. It's omnipotent. Now, kids, I'm going to ask you to say this. Adults, this is harder for you to say. So if your kids can say it, just try to keep up with your kids, all right? Everybody say it with me. Omnipotent. Okay? It means all power. Callie talked about God being almighty. And that's what this means. God has the power to do anything. Omnipotent, omnipotent. The Bible has a name for him that actually means this. Here's just one of the places in Genesis 17:1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty. And that word Almighty, that's what this means. I am God, the one who has the power to do anything. Can you think of that? Anything. That's who God is. Walk before me and be blameless. But we have a problem with that sometimes because, are you getting tired? Put it up here. You go, Omni, there you go. Because if he's got the power to do anything, sometimes we argue with him about that. Sometimes we think if you've really got the power to do anything, then you should do, and then we fill in the blank with, whatever we think he should do. We think he is big enough to do what we think he should do, right? And there's a problem with this. How many of you know everything about everything? Okay, only one of you. Yes, you got a real bad time coming. Okay, but here's the thing. We who don't know everything judge God, who does know everything, because we don't like what he does. Because we're mad at him for not doing something we think he should do. So we need to understand, and here's where I need another helper. Who's going to help? Are you going to help me? Come on up. Okay, I need you to stand right there, okay? And you're going to hold this up for everybody to see. What's your name?
Julia.
Julia. Okay, Julia, hold it up way high. Okay, and this one looks weird because it says Omni, which means all, science. All science? Well, that means to know. So God knows all. Omniscient. Can everybody say that with me? Omniscient. It's kind of a weird word, but what it means is God not only has the power to do anything he wants, to do everything, but God knows everything. Unlike us. So we have to trust him because he knows everything. But sometimes we talk to God, we pray to God, and we have a problem because we think maybe God's just not there. We start wondering, where is God? We start feeling isolated. We feel alone. Has anybody ever done that? And you're talking to him, it's like, God, where are you? And we need to remember, you got to hold it up. There you go. That not only is God all-powerful and knows everything, but there's one more word that describes him, and I need another volunteer. Okay, who's my volunteer? Can you do this? Yay! Come on upstairs over there. Yeah, just hold on. Turn around. There you go. And what's your name?
Miles.
This is Miles. Everybody give him a hand. And Miles, you're going to hold this one up, okay? Because God is omnipresent. That means he's all present. He's everywhere. And sometimes we don't feel like he is, but that's just our feelings. And we don't know everything, so we need to remember what the Bible says, that God is everywhere. I'm going to go back to the scriptures on this one, because it says, and this is Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea," if I go as far as anybody can go from here, "even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me." This is the Omni-God. He's everything. He has the power to do everything. He has the knowledge to do what's right, to know what's right, even when we don't. And he's everywhere, and especially everywhere we are. Can you give these guys a hand? Thank them for being up here. Now she should get the biggest hand because she's been standing there holding that up this whole time. I think we should just stand here and see how long she can do it. No, we won't do that to you. Thank you.
Well, hey, everybody, we're going to continue to worship our Lord together, so let us stand and let's sing about our God's amazing grace.
Sin and darkness, the Lord is mighty, and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King of all the kings.
Who shakes
the whole earth, in holy thunder, who leaves us breathless, Lord, all the wonder, the King of glory, the King of all the kings.
This is amazing grace.
This is a failing Lord. Why you would take my place? Why you would bear my cross? You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I say, Lord, all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules in nations, with truth and justice, shine like the sun, all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King of all the kings. This is amazing grace. This is a failing Lord. Now you would take my place. Now you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be so free. Oh, Jesus, I say, Lord, all that you've done for me.
What's in worthy?
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
So we talked about the omni-God, but sometimes that just feels a bit academic. And God isn't academic. All those things are true about him, but God is very personal. So when we ask who is this God, we need to talk about the God that we know. I want to tell you a little bit about the God I know, but to do that, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, the God of the Old Testament? You've heard that one? How many of you ever, the God of the New Testament? It's like there's more than one, you know? There's two different ones there. And we sometimes think like that, and that gets us into trouble. It's wrong. So I want to talk to you about the old God and the new God, or at least the one that we think is the old God, and the one that we think is the new God. Because the old God we think of as a righteous judge. In the Old Testament, he's the judge. He's the one who's just calling down fire on cities. He's the one who's destroying. He's the one that sends the prophets to tell people they should be afraid. He's the one that we're scared of. We need to understand something about that. Because sometimes we misinterpret what's going on there. Because, frankly, we don't read it. We don't actually go into the Word and understand what it says. So I want to read to you a little bit about this righteous judge. And I want you to hear, the righteous judge is real. The righteous judge is real. But what I'm reading to you is coming from the New Testament, not the Old Testament. This is Hebrews 10, and I'm going to start in the 26th verse. If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? That word punishment, by the way, means payback, revenge. How much more severe revenge do you think we're going to get when we do that? When we ignore what God has done and we trample the blood of Jesus? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," said the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Have you guys ever seen a judge? Anybody here ever actually seen a judge? Have you ever seen a TV program or a movie with a judge? Okay, there we go. And the judge should be this kind but really just person, right? Totally fair. Just somebody that we should not need to be afraid of, right? But what if the judge is totally fair and just, and you're the defendant, and you know you're guilty? Uh-oh. Now all of a sudden, this just judge is a threat to us, is scary to us. Kids, anybody here ever gotten in trouble? Raise your hand if you've ever gotten in trouble. You might want to look at your parents sitting next to you before you keep your hand down there. Okay. Parents, any of you ever gotten in trouble? Has anybody here never gotten in trouble? I mean, isn't that kind of real, right? We need to understand that God is the righteous judge. And there's one more sentence in this passage. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Because in this context, the person who is seeing God is not seeing God as the Father. It's somebody who has said no to that. And somebody then who stands before God with God as the judge. And there is nothing more terrifying than that. That is the God of the New Testament. But the God of the New Testament is the same as the God of the Old Testament, and there's qualities about Him that we need to understand because He wants us to be in a relationship with Him and experience those qualities. So let me just share a few of those with you. He is Savior. Now the word Savior has kind of gotten, it's become kind of a church word. Savior means He rescues us. We need to be rescued, and He rescues us. We cannot fix what we've done in our lives by sin, but He takes care of it. And there's four words that you need to understand about Savior. One of them is compassion. This is the God of the Old Testament, remember. Every passage I'm about to read to you is from the Old Testament. 2 Kings 13:23 says, "The Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from His presence until now even." God, the judge, the one that we think this big, bad, scary God of the Old Testament, no, compassion. He cares. Mercy. Mercy, by the way, is not doing what we deserve. That's mercy. Jeremiah 31:20. The prophet says, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child?" Now, if you read the context of that, you should always go back and read this. One of the things you're going to find out is that's irony. We would call it sarcasm. The answer is no. Ephraim is in rebellion against God. And Jeremiah is trying to get his attention, the attention of this clan of Ephraim within Israel. "Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him." Wait a minute. God is the one he's in rebellion against, and he says, "My heart yearns for him, and I will surely have mercy on him," declares the Lord. God isn't just about payback. God is compassion and mercy and forgiveness. In the Old Testament even, in that very book that story came from, Daniel 9:9, "To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness." Forgiveness is wiping it clean so we don't owe anymore the penalty for our sin. And why? Because in His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, in the amazing glory of God, at the core is love. And the God of the Old Testament, not just the God of the New Testament, is love. Love for His people. In Deuteronomy 7:13 it says, "He will love you and bless you and multiply you for the chosen people of Israel." But love for the people who aren't those as well. Same book, Deuteronomy 10th chapter, 18th verse, just a few chapters later, He said, "He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows His love for the alien," that would not be from outer space. The alien was anybody that wasn't from Israel. Any strangers, by giving him food and clothing. So when we think about the God that we hear about, I encourage you to think about the God I know, the God I have served for years, the God who is just, the God who will wreak havoc on those who are guilty and have not accepted Him and His forgiveness, but the God who loves so much that He has compassion and mercy and shows that forgiveness to anyone who would call out for it. That's the God we worship. That's the God who is at the heart of our community. There's a song that the kids sing about this. It's called "Dig Deep," or "Dig Deep, Down Deep." It's got those words in it. And if you're one of the leaders who shows the kids the motions on how to do that, I'm going to invite you to come up on the platform and show the rest of us right now.
All day.